Last week we looked at Luke chapter 10, the mission of the 72. Jesus had very ambitious plans in Luke 10. He wanted to go to 36 cities, and he sent 72 men in pairs to those cities. He gathered them and he sent them out as lambs go to wolves. They faced danger and uncertainty, but yet he still sent them out. The proclamation of the gospel was Jesus's highest priority. And he gave them some words of encouragement. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." You know, the Spirit still sends out the workers. Those of us that have the Holy Spirit living in us, that Spirit is urging, pleading, and sending us out. Whether it be sending us out to people in our jobs or in our neighborhood or family members, people who we may know from back in the day in school. You know, the Spirit is always telling us, "Hey, have you talked to that person yet? Why don't you think about that person?" That's what the Holy Spirit does. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you know what that feels like, right? You know, sometimes you're sitting down on a train and you just want to kind of get into yourself and kind of sort of prepare your mind for your day's work. And somebody comes down and sits next to you, and there's something in you that says, "You know, maybe I should ask this person to come to church." Where does that come from? That is the Holy Spirit, who is always is concerned with the spiritual destiny of others. So the Holy Spirit is still sending us out, whatever our life stage is, whether you're a college student, whether you're single, married, mature, whatever life stage you're in, the Holy Spirit looks at us and says, "There's my son, there's my daughter. Let me use them to proclaim the good news to others." You know, this past summer, this is something that we've been doing. We've been having these CSI summer campaigns, and CSI stands for Campus Summer Initiative. And what we do over the summer is we just ask anybody that's available to come on to these campuses. Whether this year we focused on Queens College. And we focused on Queensborough Community College. And campus students and other members of the church would just go to these campuses on different days and have Bible discussions. They will meet students, and they will invite them to Bible discussions and just look at some passages in the New Testament about Jesus. And so that's what we've been doing for the past three summers. And I just want to lift up all the campus students and all the brothers and sisters who volunteered to go. Thank you. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. You know, as the campus kicks off, we have these clubs. At QCC, this past week, we had a table set up at Queensborough Community College to sign people up who are interested in being part of our club. And Daniel told us that 58 students said, "I want to know more about this club." I'm telling you, there are people that are out there, young men and women of all ages, all backgrounds, all demographics, that just want to know more about Jesus. And so I really appreciate the campus students getting all those phone numbers, and I know they're going to follow up with all of them, right, guys? Every single one, man. We're going to invite those guys to Bible talk, and we're going to have a great time. The harvest truly is plentiful. You know, there's some more profound truths that permeate the text of Luke 10, which we're going to sink our teeth in this morning. In Luke 10, verse 16, he says, "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. You know, in these passages, Jesus told the disciples that, man, you guys are my ambassadors. You are my ambassadors. You are not acting on your own, but you are representing me. He said, he who listens to you listens to me. And he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Jesus is saying, look, the message that I'm sending you with, some will accept and some will reject. That is the reality of the world that we live in. And a lot of times as disciples, we get fired up when people accept the message, as we should. And we get real sad and discouraged when people reject the message. Sometimes we take it so personally. Sometimes we feel so hurt. We feel wounded. We feel like I gave all this effort. I tried so hard. I laid my life down, and they reject the message. And we go home and we look at ourselves in the mirror. I don't know if you've ever done that. You go, is it me? Is it me? Is it because I just didn't do X or Y or I didn't look a particular way? And we get all focused on ourselves. And Jesus said, listen, it doesn't have anything to do with you. He said, if they listen to you, they're listening to me. If they reject you, they reject me. And not only do they reject him, but they're rejecting the one who sent him. The 72 functioned as Christ's ambassadors. They preached what Jesus told them to preach. And they healed as Jesus told them to heal. And that is what an ambassador of Christ really is. And we've got to understand, as long as we are doing what Christ asks us to do, as long as we are taking the message to others, as long as we are living the lives that Christ wants us to live, we are ambassadors of Christ. Some will accept and some will reject. That don't get all self-focused and into ourselves because people reject the message. We just got to keep giving as many people the opportunity as we can. Amen? I love what Luke brings out in this passage, that the mission brought joy. You know, it says the 72 returned with joy. I mean, they were fired up. They probably didn't even think that all these amazing things would happen when they went on this mission. They came back, they were fired up, they were like, man, even the demons submit to us. And in verse 21, it says, Jesus, full of joy with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that Luke always talks about is the work of the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus is full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is fired up. He's excited. And if anybody tells you that if you go on a mission, it's going to be tough and hard and discouraging and blah, 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 don't listen to them. When we are involved in the mission, church, there is a joy that we feel. There is an inner joy, and it is completely inexplicable. I can tell you how many times I've left my house not feeling to go to a Bible study. Feeling like, you know, I've had a tough day today. Feeling like, you know, it takes so much time just to get to so-and-so. And, you know, there's a great football game going on, and I really need to be on top of the football. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you how many times I, in my flesh, I've gone into the harvest field thinking, oh, man, this is going to be tough. But, you know, something happens when you're sitting down with somebody and you're opening up the scriptures and you are engaged in spiritual teaching and you're trying to help somebody get to know Jesus better. There is something inexplicable that comes over you. And you felt that. And you know, you all the tiredness that you may feel, all the baggage that you may have brought into that Bible study, all of a sudden disappears when you're actually doing God's work. You leave, you go home, you're feeling like, oh man, this was awesome. This fires me up, and you can't wait for the next study. Right? You just can't wait. You know, that's the Spirit bringing joy in your heart because you are obeying God's word. The disciples come back with joy. And Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, and he is full of joy. And of course, he said to them, you know, listen, don't get fired up because you're seeing all these victories. What you got to get fired up about is that you have a special place in heaven. See, that's the issue. Because sometimes people are going to accept the message. And then other times, they're going to want to drive you out of town. Right? That's what happened to Jesus. Don't rejoice because of the results. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And I love what it says in verse 21. Jesus, he's so full of joy. He just breaks out in spontaneous prayer. He's like, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to your children, to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. You know, when two athletes are in a contest with each other and one athlete makes a good point, you see them kind of fist pumping. I don't know if you watched that tennis match yesterday between oh my gosh, that was quite a contest. I mean, Serena was battling back. She was down several games and this Canadian teen, you know, was just fighting her way, and you saw the man fist pumping. Yeah, yeah, whenever they made a winning shot. You know what this prayer is? This prayer is Jesus fist pumping. He's like, yes, Father, this is actually happening. Why is he so excited? Remember where he began. He began coming out of Nazareth with just him and the Holy Spirit. Then he goes to the Sea of Galilee and he gets these fishermen who know nothing about his mission. And then he trains them and he builds them and he gathers more and more men. And at this point, there are 72 men who he has sent out on a successful mission. He is seeing his dream come to fruition. He has hit the winning shot. He has scored the touchdown. The ball is moving up the field. Jesus is fired up. And in this text, he reveals some very important truths. He says that God has hidden spiritual truths from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. God hides from some and reveals to others. Why? Why does God do that? Because to some who feel they already have the truth, they don't want to hear the message that the apostles were bringing. And because they feel they already have the truth, they miss out on the opportunity to hear the real truth. Those he reveals his truth to are like little children who hunger and who thirst for spiritual knowledge because they know something is missing from their lives. And when they hear it, they realize, this is what I've been missing my whole life. And they latch on to it like little children. And so they are the ones who receive spiritual revelation. And when you read a passage like this, you got to ask yourself, which one am I? Am I the wise and learned who feel like I already have received the truth? Or am I like a little child who's constantly looking to the master for spiritual wisdom and knowledge? In verse 22, Jesus reveals his unique relationship with God. He says, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's really interesting what Jesus says right here. And it's easy to kind of breeze past it and not take some time and think, what is he really saying? What did he say? He said, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is saying that I am the only person who knows the Father, and the only person who knows who I truly am is the Father. And he's saying you cannot get to the Father, you cannot get to know the Father, except if I choose to reveal him to you. Now that, right? Isn't that pretty serious? He's saying a person cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is impossible. Now that's a radical teaching. Because in the age that we live in, we hear things like, well, there are many paths to God. This is driving me crazy. I'm going to bring my saw next week and just... I got a little handheld one at home. I'll just... We live in an age where we say there are many paths to God. And in our society, it's freedom of religion. And that is a unique thing here in the United States of America. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And in one sense, you know what? It's a really cool thing that you're not being forced to believe any particular religion. I mean, you got to make your own choice. And I totally respect that. As a country, the United States has welcomed many, many people from many different backgrounds and nationalities, and they basically allow you to worship however you want to worship. That is not true in many countries. In many countries in the world, if you don't believe the things that the government tells you to believe, you're going to go to jail. Right? They will persecute you. But with all that freedom, there can be problems. Because we can get to a place where we can say, well, there are many paths to one God. You can say, well, you know, there are many people who believe that you need to follow Prophet Muhammad. There are millions of people who are Hindus and who claim to follow a number of Hindu gods. And sometimes a person who's trying to grow in their faith in Christ could reason that maybe something is missing from the Christian faith. Maybe we ought to kind of take a look at what the Hindus are teaching, or what the Buddhists are teaching, or what the Muslims are teaching. Maybe we ought to take a look at that. Maybe this whole Christian faith is too exclusive. When you live in a diverse, pluralistic society like the United States, it's very easy to think that way. But then when you read this passage, when you read that Jesus is saying, nobody knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, you got to ask yourself, if this statement was true in Jesus' day, is it not still true today? Yes, it is. This is an exclusive faith. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. It was true then, and it is true now. And it was statements like these that agitated people who heard him. And it was statements like these that led Jesus to his death. And if we are going to follow this man and believe the things that he said, we've got to understand we will come into conflict with people who believe otherwise. A person can only know God through Jesus. That's why we make such a big deal about studying the Bible. That's why we focus so much on the teachings of Jesus. Because we believe he has the words to eternal life. We believe he can change a person from the inside. And we've seen proof of that here in the lives of many of the disciples. The more you get to know the teachings of Jesus, the more God will reveal himself to you. And so if you've not yet started studying the Bible, I want to encourage you to look to the person next to you or whoever invited you and say, hey, when can I start studying the Bible? Because I want to get to know the teachings of Jesus because I want to have a relationship with God. The last thing Jesus said in verse 23, he said, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but didn't see it. And to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. What Jesus is telling them is that you guys are really privileged. You are really privileged. There's been a long history of spiritual men and women that have gone before you, that have longed to see the revelation of the Messiah. They're people who went to their grave longing for this day, and they didn't see it. They're people who are longing to hear the spiritual truths that I've revealed, and they've never heard it. But your eyes have seen these things, and your ears have heard these things that people are longing to see. Jesus wanted them to know that they were blessed, that they were privileged. And if Jesus wanted the 72 to see themselves in that way, doesn't Christ want us to see ourselves the same way? What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. What a privilege. What an honor to be made into a fisher of men. Many of us, when we first started coming, we had no desire, no knowledge, nothing about spiritual things. The most we knew about church was, well, there is someone called God, and I need to show up at church every now and then, and that was it. Then we started getting into the Bible, right? And you were like, what? All that's in there? And I could do that? You know, not a lot of people. I've studied the Bible with many people in Toronto, in Miami, in New York, in Jamaica, in Trinidad, and who've had different church experiences. And I very rarely have I met someone that understood that Jesus called them to be a disciple. Very rarely. We know this, and it is a privilege to have heard the things that we've heard. We are blessed to know the things that we know. And the Christian life will have ups and will have downs. And some days, they will have more downs than ups. And some days, you may feel like, well, I'm not winning any victories here. You still got to understand that you are blessed because of the things that you've seen and the things that you've heard. And I remember in one of my darkest spiritual moments when people were saying all sorts of negative things about the church. People were leaving the church left, right, and center. I remember going in a quiet time and saying, okay, what should I do, Lord? Should I leave too? Is this church as bad as what other people are saying? And I sat down and I said, wait a second. From whom did you learn that you need to live a sexually pure life? Who was it that taught you how to confess your sins and to dig yourself out of the rubble of sexual impurity? From whom did you learn that? Who have you learned about loving your wife as Christ loved the church? From whom did you learn these things? And the more I asked myself that question, the more I realized that this was not an operation of man, but it was the Holy Spirit working through man that brought this revelation to me. And I held on to my faith. I held on to what I believed in. I held on to the truth because I still think that I'm a privileged man. I still think that I am blessed to be a disciple. I think about the trajectory my life was on before I came into contact with the men who studied the Bible with me. I know I have been rescued from complete destruction because God put men in my life to reveal spiritual truths to me. This is how Jesus saw the 72. Blessed are you, church. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not blessed. Don't let anybody put any thought in your head that something is missing from your life or that you need something else. You have received the truth of Jesus Christ. It is life-saving, it is transformative, and it is the way to eternal life. Blessed are you. Blessed are you for the things that you've seen and the things that you've heard. Let us remember this. Let's remember who we are as we prepare ourselves for the coming week and the coming challenges and the coming victories. We are privileged to be called His sons and daughters. Amen.